All right. Okay. I could listen to that all day. John Coltrane and a band of other jazz luminaries with Blue Train. That was the title track of Coltrane's 1957 album, with Coltrane, of course, on tenor sax, Lee Morgan on trumpet, Curtis Fuller on trombone, Kenny Drew on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, and Philly Joe Jones on drums. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and my voice is going a little nuts. You know, in these parts, you could be perfect, and then in about an hour or so, something is wrong with your throat. But this happens. This is the great state of Florida, which now has the dubious distinction of having the highest rate of infection, coronavirus infections in the United States. And people are still out there swimming, sunbathing, and acting like they're invincible. Nothing can happen to them. I watch them and I go, you know, ignorance in some cases is bliss. They're blissfully ignorant of what they're playing with here, this great danger. But anyway, today I want to encourage us to adopt a brand new spirit. What do I mean by that? I mean, we've got to get real. I'm not suggesting we're not, but I am suggesting we're not as serious as we ought to be. Because what's coming down the pike, folks, is going to be a life and death struggle for many people in this country. It is not going to be easy at all. And we shouldn't pretend that we could deal with whatever comes. No, you can't make that assumption. Let's start with the basic assumptions here. The country has as a president, and in fact, many people at the highest levels, people who under any normal circumstances would be considered fit only for a pretty long term in a treatment facility, psychiatric treatment facility. They're crazy. The one thing they're exceptionally good at is plundering the resources of this nation for individual advancement and advantage. And they've gotten away with it. They keep getting away with it because we don't have people of a caliber strong enough to upset the whole apple cart and say, no, we're not going to let this happen to this country. We won't have these charlatans come along and completely rip off this nation. These are people with no conscience. They have no sense of obligation to country. They have no intention of being faithful to an ideal. Any ideal at all, I'll take it. Their only ideal is about making money however they can, ripping off the rest of this nation and putting the money in their pockets. In a fair world, they wouldn't be fit to sweep the streets. If all things were fair and just and right, we would never know their names. They don't qualify. But it took only a short time. It took only a few years to have this country just snatched, all of the assets of this country in the hands of people who are thieves, who are purloiners, people who have only one indefatigable quest: to steal and take as much as they can and build their fortunes now. Because in fact, the nation is at its weakest, not at its strongest, at its very weakest. It has few defenses that could stand up and put these people in their place, which is in prison for a long time. How dare this country point fingers at others and say, you have what did Trump call it? He called it an asshole country. What do we have now? What do we have now? The whole world is looking at us and wondering, how could this country have descended into the pits like this? Because people like Donald Trump and his minions are in charge, and they quietly have created a parallel universe that they rule. They fund their universe with the people's funds. They steal from the people. They raid our treasury. They make a mockery of this thing called democracy. But they set themselves up as rulers in a world we don't even know. They are partnering with some of the slimiest, scuzziest elements in the world. They're all into the same thing. Let's rip off our countries. Let's debase our ideals. Let's sink the people into a state of hopelessness. And let's have a good time doing it. Right now, you would never know that Donald Trump is doing the work of a president of a leading nation of the world. No, he's traveling. He's taking care of his business. He is campaigning on our dime. And then his sons and his daughter and whoever else he designates, they're all feeding at the public trough. And they're not even generous enough to leave a little for the rest of us. They want every drop of it. And we're not hearing sufficient clamor. Nobody has asked yet, wait a minute. You're President of the United States. Let's see your time card. Let's see how much time you actually invest in being president of one of the leading countries of the world. No, you jet setting. You off to another golf tournament. You're hanging out at one of your hotel properties. You're having secret meetings with other people. You're having a romance with dictators of the world. And the last thing you're thinking about is taking care of business at home. Well, probably that's a silly statement to make because more and more, there is no business at home to take care of. Our great country is in the hands of people like Donald Trump, his children, and whoever else he chooses to designate to plug into lucrative positions that the people's money is supporting. And that's why my tone today I was known some years ago for saying we have to be ruthless and obsessive about our interests. Ruthless and obsessive about our interests. It appears we have fallen off of that charge. We are neither ruthless nor obsessive about our interests. In fact, we don't seem to even know what our interests are. Or we know what they are, but we're not interested in fighting for them. This is where we are. And so we have to start taking inventory now. We're way too late already. But we've got to do it. Because in the end, we are the only ones who will save ourselves. The only ones. Everybody's taking care of their business. And that indicates that there should be no expectation that they should take care of our business. They're not taking care of the nation's business. Why should we have expectations? No, it's not that we have expectations, it's that we have become completely divorced from the reality that exists. We no longer have the stomach for it. We don't have the heart for it, not even to look out for ourselves. We trust that people will do the right thing. We know they're not. We know they are not doing the right thing. And yet, we are engaging in useless discussion about who's going to be president, who is running for president, who is going to get the nomination. What the hell do we care? What do we care? Why should we care? We are so tattered and torn and dissipated and disconnected. We are just so beaten. And yet we keep thinking, well, we should join the conversation. That's their conversation. Has nothing to do with you. They already understand what is in their interest because they've been seeing to it for a long time now. And I should join the conversation, and you should join the conversation about the nomination for the next election. What's the matter with you? When did you lose your brain? This is a time to make up for our casual attention, if we paid any attention at all, to our unique and special interests, which we must fight for and defend. This is not a game, this is war. If you don't understand that, then keep doing what you're doing, you'll keep getting what you're getting. I don't care who is running and who's going to be on Biden's vice presidential ticket. And no, our concerns are still primordial. We're still fighting for the basics. Good education for our children. meaningful employment, adequate housing, and affordable housing. We're still at the basics. I have no time to discuss Biden's political future. I'm not interested. Because however Biden chooses his future to turn out, it will turn out. He's not going to starve. He's going to have all kinds of offers, even at his age, for more than adequate employment. He's going to be living in a nice house. He's going to be able to afford vacations. His grandchildren are already taken care of. Why am I to be concerned about Joe Biden? We have kept a covenant with them. They have not kept a covenant with us. And so we should move them out of our consciousness. They're not making an effort to say, look, I know I have been neglectful, but I'm with you on this one. These are the priorities that I have so far that I'm pursuing. Could you help me understand what it is I can do? What more can I do to make up for lost time, for make up for the fact that this Democratic Party has left us? The only thing that they're interested in is, can you pull a lever? Can you press a button? Can you mail in a ballot? And after that, go to hell. We have no further interest or use for you. But we are operating out of sentimentality. Well, let me tell you, that's a one-sided sentiment so far. The Democratic Party and any other party that has emerged saying that it recognizes an obligation to people who have been marginalized in the society for so long, somehow they forget. They forget that this is a long-term deal. But they hold us. They hold us to that memory. Don't forget. Don't forget us. Don't forget we are fighting for you. Well, I say, well, I told you some time ago, I decided a long time ago, I'm not involved in this charade. I'm not. I mean, what is your evidence that as a constituency, a broad constituency, you recognize that you have had a duty to it? And you have done everything to prove that fidelity to this constituency that has been very, very faithful to you. You're playing games. Okay. I'm playing games too. And my game is, at some point, I've got to take control over those things that I can control and move away from you. Or more correctly, move you away from me. You're no use to me. You're not doing anything for me. You make speeches and all of that. Good for you. Show me where you have made a fantastic impact on employment across the board. Show me the new schools you have built. Show me your record of the things you have done for this constituency, which is almost ridiculous. ridiculously faithful to you. No. I'm done with that. Because in the meantime, not only have you not done those things, you've wasted my time. Or you have made it so that I wasted my own time, which you cannot buy back. It's already gone. You are Donald Trump. You are the Republicans. You're one and the same in terms of how we experience you, in terms of how you have treated this particular constituency. I make no differentiation. At a time when we should be talking about some serious stuff, about progress being made, about initiatives being undertaken, about community issues that you are addressing, we're wasting time talking about whether you're going to take down this statue or whether you're going to make a little amendment over here. I don't care. Make it or not make it. I don't care. It should occur to you, we spotted you years and years and years ago. So you're not news to us. Experientially, we know you. I was reading the newspaper the other day. I mean, I should say the news articles online. And the pattern is just so sickeningly repetitive. In the same way that Donald Trump has several people of color, he's putting them face forward so we could get a good look at his preferred Negroes. Muhammad Ali's son, Muhammad Ali Jr., has joined the Trump bandwagon. Nothing has changed. And the logic of it, we dismiss. We allow Trump to do that. And we allow Muhammad Ali's son, Muhammad Ali Jr., to get away with that. Look, your individual choice is your individual choice. And it's not about your individual choice. It's about you having absolutely no connection to the history your father went through, so that you could stand up today free of any obligation and unequivocally state that your father, the great Muhammad Ali, would have supported Trump. What? You see what I mean? You see what I mean? We've lost our minds. We have lost our minds. If his father were alive, he would have denounced the Black Lives Matter organization and movement. This is the stuff he's saying. Well, it's not surprising, is it? All through the years, we have seen the same tactic. When Black people are struggling, We always have somebody, a rented face. Sometimes they're so eager to support the wrong side, they don't even ask for money. Because they've lost all consciousness. So there he is, trying to do two things at once. Trying to lay claim to his father's extraordinary contribution to all mankind, not just those in the United States. Trying to lay claim to that as if he's qualified to do so. And what qualifies him? Well, they have the same name. And that ought to be enough. So you want to rent somebody to give you the veneer of acceptability and universality? Hey, I'm available. So there he is, denouncing in service of white supremacy, denouncing the people who are struggling against it now. In the name of something, someone whose candle he can't even light, whose shoes he can't fill. Okay. Enough of a preamble, wouldn't you say? Let me get to the subject. And the subject is, we are going to engage at least once a week. At least once a week from now on. In a discussion about getting real. About where we are in the scheme of things, and what is required of us to prepare ourselves for what's coming. It has already begun to drizzle through. But what's coming is vital, because you know what? The resources that are being stolen belong to us. And that's the attitude we should have. This isn't about the government. The government doesn't have money. The people give the government money. What is not happening is that the people are locked out of making any decision and of getting any benefit from that money. So we have to look at where we are. We can't start from the very beginning. We have to play catch up. And we have to start where the action is. And the action should be that in any way that we can, as individuals and as a group, we have to assume or reassume our power. It is our power. We have given it away. It's time to take it back and refashion it to suit specifically our needs. To the extent that we are able to do so, that is what we must do. We can't be so blind to reality that we take on things we can't do. But surely you can control the economics of your own household. Surely we can make better judgments. Surely we can become more aware of the consequences of inaction or making wrong decisions just so we can say, well, I voted. It doesn't do a damn thing to say that I voted, but you voted the wrong way. You voted for the wrong person, for the wrong reasons. That's the education we need. We need actually re-education. We do have to come back to my popular phrase about being ruthless and obsessive about our interests. That's all we want. We don't care about anything else. I don't want to know about whatever else is happening. I want to know what is the policy toward the Caribbean and Africa and other nations of color in this world. I want to know what is going on with employment from the city, from the state, from the federal government. Who from our community is getting the jobs? That's what I want to know. I don't want to know anything else. You could hold whatever kind of rally you want. That's your business. We have our business to take care of, and that is going to be a primary concern at the top of the list. Nothing is to deter us from that. They don't have to be big, grandiose things, but they have to be things that we are willing to go to the mat for. We've been talking too loud, and we still are saying nothing. We have to stop. And frankly, I don't care who is going to be president of the United States. That makes no psychological impression on me whatsoever. The sameness of things is what scares the hell out of me. We have seen a repeat over time that no matter who is president, who is a Republican or a progressive or a Democrat or whatever, the result is the same for our community. You think I don't know that? You think I don't see that? And then we are supposed to delude ourselves and ignore this fact of history that no matter who goes into the White House, we end up in the outhouse. It's got to stop. That doesn't make sense. We've got to show something on the bottom line, something in return for the investment we've been making. The sacrifices that we are compelled to make, even if we don't want to make them. So we either get serious or we get out of the way. We have to, as they say, fish or cut bait. You're listening to Lead Stories on your favorite station, PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and I'm talking about being cognizant of the fact that we have to fish or cut bait ourselves with regard to specifically our interests. The time has come, more than gone actually, but it has certainly come for us to reevaluate what it is we're doing. And you can't do that without first understanding what are your interests and holding people accountable to them and making demands, specific demands, without feeling embarrassed about it or reticent about it. 888-874-4888. Once a week or so, we'll take on the subject because we long overdue a very hard look at what it is we're doing. It seems to me that what we're doing is injurious to us and our interests. And we have to get a hold on this thing and understand it so that we can work towards something that makes sense. All these bright minds that know exactly what's wrong, and we end up doing the same damn thing all the time. This is crazy. 888-874-4888 is the number to call. We have time for quite a few calls today, but at least once a week, we will deal with this as a project. We have to get ourselves in order, because what's coming down the pike is going to be very serious, and it's going to be a direct challenge, and I'm not exaggerating when I say a direct challenge even to our very lives. That's how serious it's going to be. So we ought to have our heads screwed on right. Ma'at from New York, you get us started today.
Yes, greetings to the beloved family.
Thank you.
Well, I certainly agree with your analysis, and I just probably haven't had need more time to assess and reflect on it. However, one of the key things is our defining and getting our hands around, if you will, what community is, because I think that's one of the that's why most of the so-called leaders, they basically operate in fiefdoms. And if one of them is doing something improprietous or betrayed the community or whatever the case, plagiarize a sister under dire circumstances of the sister, they will not form a circle in terms of resolving something in private, but they will just keep up the cover-up. And so it says that it's not about leading us to liberation, but it's about personal interest and feathering one's own nest. And another aspect of that is, and I was talking to a friend and someone who exhibited this kind of behavior, in that we're so defensive, we're so without even an idea community, that we don't even have emotional support for each other. When one of us is in crisis or has been in crisis, we don't even know how to be, how to stand by your side if it's only emotional support. And of course, it could go much further. So,
well, you know, I don't subscribe to that way of thinking anymore. I used to, until I found it to be a complete waste of time. Because most people are not serious. If they're serious, our communities wouldn't be in such rotten condition.
Yes, true.
So I go with, who is ready? Are you ready? I'm not asking for perfection. I'm not saying we should wait until everybody has all the ducks lined up in a row. I'm saying, do you recognize how badly off we are? And how our only salvation is coming together under some kind of an overarching plan or discussion of what it is we can do, and do it now. We have almost run out of time. People don't understand that. We control nothing. We do not have our hands on the levers of government. We are completely vulnerable. And so we don't have the time to experiment. We got to move with people who are ready to move in a different direction. and say, we've got to stop. We have to stop this hemorrhaging that has been occurring in our community for centuries now. We've got to stop it. It's not good for us. And in the end, it will bring us nothing but bad, bad outcomes. We can't suffer that now. We got to move on. And if people are not ready, it's okay. If you have five people who are ready, I'll take those five and leave the 5,000 behind. Catch up with us if you can. But we're moving. Thanks, Mart, for getting us started today. Thank you. Bay from New York, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good. Quick note, I love your music because I'm a musician, so that's a great thing. Second thing was, I heard you last week speaking as well, and it made me think of one person amongst many, that the groundwork has already been laid for people to follow, but people don't want to follow the plan. And when I heard you speak last week, it rounded, first time calling to call in and say, and you said it again, that, you know, people like Brother Marcus Garvey, they already laid out the plan, how to act, what you should be trying to build and do. But then when I hear people, they don't want to follow the plan, then they have to suffer the consequences that go along with that. If the organizations are not trying to prepare for you, to not only educational-wise and politically-wise, but as a nation of people that have your own economic systems in place, no matter what happens around you, and stop worrying about what others are worrying about, take care of your own first, then I think the situation, as you said, and I heard it a couple of years ago, and I think as me as being a Moorish American, we know that too, that it's almost inevitable. You got to go through certain things to maybe get people to wake up. So unfortunately, I think the plans are not being followed. You know, people just go on whims and stuff, and they seem to go to sleep after certain things happen, but they don't follow the plan. So the plans are to have your own economic and social programs in place, and you work on them and don't worry about what others are doing. In fact, you might want to imitate some nations that are doing certain things, but they don't tell you everything that they're doing. So I don't think we should be telling everybody else what we're doing as well. Just do it. You know, if you have people, we have many qualified people in positions that have economic power to start to build things, and don't make a big fuss about it. Just do it in private so that you can be building up, just put your systems in place. So that's all I have to say, and thank you for your show, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for calling in and contributing. And that's my whole point. This is not a thing we should be doing so that people could acknowledge it. I don't care whether you acknowledge it or not. In fact, I'm hoping that we have it just the way Brother Bain just said, on the down low. We're just minding our business, but we are clear about our interests, and we are pursuing our interests. That's the thing. I'm not doing anything or saying anything for public recognition. I just wanted to register with enough of us so that we move in a direction. We don't even have to move together at first. At some point that will happen, but we want to be able to begin the process of clearing up our own minds and seeing the situation, developing proper perspective. We are all dispensable. All of our communities are vulnerable and have been now for centuries. So what I'm seeing is nothing new. What I'm hoping that we can do is in our own way arrive at a point of clarity about what it is we ought to do, if not for ourselves, but for those who come after us. That we have a way of protecting our resources, using them wisely, being conscious of how we operate, even as a single unit. How do we spend our money? What do we buy? If we choose to buy, where do we go? So we have to begin to reintroduce ourselves to these things if we haven't been introduced to them before. And we have to proceed with a deep sense of purpose, because we're running out of time, folks. This is not a joke. It's not an empty phrase. We are running out of time with our lives and those that are coming after us. They will begin life with not an ounce more of clarity than we have now. That makes absolutely no sense. If that is to be the case, then there's no reason for us to occupy space on this earth. And that's why I'm saying, perhaps, at least if we get this message across once a week, I'm not trying to drill anything into anybody's heads, but we're trying to open up a conversation to encourage people to develop a kind of compass, their own compass, as to where they're going in life. How are they interacting with the society, which has already perfected any number of ways to interact, and I use the word loosely, with us? Before a child is born, the statistics are there. By what age would he have committed his first crime? By what age would he enter the prison system? By what age might he be shot dead? That's not for us. And if we don't take charge of our destiny, our collective destiny, then we can't blame anybody for not taking on the responsibility to save us. We are the ones to save ourselves. Remember that. So I was hoping to say it in a less jarring way. But if you read as much as I do, and I'm not saying that for self-praise, but I happen to be a prolific reader, and you see the general trend, the underlying and undergirding philosophy of things that are written, there's no question that the fates of many people, of different groups, they're decided. Whether they're going to be in the ruling class, or the merchant class, or whether they're going to be of the wealthy class, or are they going to be the servants of the society? What are they going to do? It's already decided. People are already being shaped for the purposes that they will have. In the future, in the very near future, that is about to happen. And it would set the stage for irreversible change almost in the next leg of the race. They're setting it up. This mediocre group that rules now, that has the tentacles into what they consider the most important aspects of government, that is the treasury, the aspect of government that controls the assets of government, the natural resources, the people who have the ability to declare war so that other people could fight these wars and die in these wars for their sake. All of that is already in very good progress right now. None of it has anything to do with the simple question, well, what good would this be to the people? They don't care about that. What people? Here's a uniform, put it on. Here's a gun, go shoot these people over there. We are very close to that. We are very, very, very close to that. And we are acting as if we don't think so. But I encourage us all to think about it again and to take hold of your natural resources, your creativity, your work, your intelligence, your ability to earn a living, your family. You have to rethink how you operate in this world. It's coming faster than we can even imagine. And it is not the kind of thing you can do, you know, in a flip second. You have to have some kind of leeway, some kind of headway to give yourself a fighting chance. And that comes in the form of thinking things, analyzing, which is one of the things we stress on this program. Analyze what is going on so you can determine ahead of everybody else what is likely to happen to you and to your community. I don't think we should be afraid, but we should be ready. We should expect what is happening and be strong enough to fight it. If we're going to fight it, we have to make some preemptive moves. Spending your money differently, acquiring information, seeking clarity about things, and developing your own plan for survival. This is going to be our charge in this time. I'm not being overdramatic. This time is the preparatory time for the next leg, which will have to do with extermination of people, which will have to do with a reorganization of the social order. There will be no mobility. You are going to be assigned a class or a group or a state of operating, and you'll stay there. All these things we have to talk about so that you are prepared for what is coming. We all have to do that. We all have to do that. People may think, well, I've got a good job. Well, good for you. Except you have no say whatsoever in whether you have that job tomorrow. And if you don't have that job tomorrow, then what do you do? This is serious. They are not playing. This system is not playing, and neither should we. I thank you all for listening today. I'm always comforted by the fact that you're thinking, which is what we all need to do. Invest more time in thinking than anything else, because it supposedly will inform our actions and it will help us to survive, which is the number one priority. After all is said and done, the number one job is to survive. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.